Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Daily Premier League action and reaction. This is Football Social Daily.
It's all to play for in Europe, whether it be Germany or Rome. Will West Ham or Leicester bring it home? And by bring it home, I mean the chance to play in a final, of course. The Hammers are 2-1 behind in their Europa League semi-first leg at home to Eintracht Frankfurt after last night's result at London Stadium. Meanwhile, a couple of hundred miles away in Leicester, the Romans came, but they couldn't conquer. Honours even, with that game finishing one apiece, heading into the reverse leg at the Stadio Olimpico next week. Not often we're talking about European football on Football Social Daily, and Manchester United and Chelsea aren't in the conversation, but one man who's always a talking point is Cristiano Ronaldo, United's famous number 7 on the score sheet again last night as the Blues go back to the Bridge with a point, 1-1 and ended at Old Trafford in the Premier League yesterday too. We'll dissect all of the action from yesterday's games on your award-winning Premier League podcast, Football Social Daily. My name's Niall, and with me this morning, our solid centre-back pairing of Marley Anderson and Joel Tudor. Morning, boys.
Morning. Imagine me at centre-back. Imagine me losing every header at centre-back.
I can't imagine you, Marley, but for some reason, Joel, I think you would make quite a good centre-back. I just think it's because you're tall.
That's just heightism, Niall. I think I'm a bit more of a nice holding midfielder, dictating play. Protect Marley in case he gets run out.
You need to be quite nimble as a holding midfield player. I mean, unless you're more like a Nemanja Matic type figure, because he's pretty tall.
He's probably quicker in over 50 metres than Nemanja Matic is.
Yeah, he's sluggish.
Honestly, I'm still waiting to see Joel play football because he's talked himself up quite a lot. You know, apparently he's this rangy central midfield player. He's also a ridiculously good goal scorer.
Listen, anything for the team, I'm adaptable and dynamic. I can switch it up.
Oh my goodness. Well, we're going to move away from five-a-side and talk about European football that took place last night. Of course, West Ham and Leicester both in action, and it's at the London Stadium where we're going to start, as the Hammers hosted Frankfurt and they got off to the worst possible start to the game, Marley, didn't they? They conceded inside a minute. It's hard to put your finger on exactly what happened there. Maybe it was just a bit of a lapse in concentration because, you know, the whistle goes and you're trying to get into the rhythm of the game. But in the blink of an eye, Frankfurt put the ball into the back post and they're 1-0 up. I mean, David Moyes must have had his head in his hands because they could barely have got off to a worse start.
Yeah, it was one of them. I think it was just nerves and, you know, the whole occasion probably just got to West Ham a little bit, and it got for a split second. I think it was Aaron Cresswell who just switches off the back post and lets... lets the wing back in behind him to head the cross in, because it's not a difficult one to defend. It's sort of a slow curling cross, and it's not one of them undefendable crosses like De Bruyne's for Man City the other weekend when he got when he put it on Jesus's head from, you know, like from way out. It just sort of floated, and Cresswell just goes to sleep for a split second, and that's what I think that's what nerves on a big game can do to you. And, you know, the quick start is exactly what you want as an away team if you're Frankfurt, you know. But West Ham, they dug in, to be fair, and they should have been level. In fact, they should have been ahead after 20 minutes. Like, when they got the equaliser, that was, you know, after they'd hit the post through Bowen.
Yeah.
And they probably should have got more from the game in as a whole last night. But, you know, it's still not exactly dead with the lack of away goals now. You know, they're still in with a chance they can go and win by one goal in Germany and, you know, take it to the nervy, horrible time that is extra time and penalties if that's what they can stick in and keep fighting.
Do you think they showed Frankfurt a bit too much respect then, Marley, with the way that the game panned out? As you mentioned, Bowen hit the post and we'll talk about him in a minute, but is it a case of West Ham maybe giving Frankfurt a little bit too much respect, or did the Germans play good football as well?
Maybe, because, yeah, maybe they weren't quite as, like, in your face as they usually are, West Ham. You know, I think against Lyon they were everywhere. You know, they almost had that underdog mentality of, like, everyone expects us to go out here, so we're going to, you know, give Lyon a bloody nose as soon as we can and prove we deserve to be here type of thing. But maybe with Frankfurt being, like, in inverted commas, not as big as, like, a Lyon, or, you know, coming off the back of the Barcelona win, probably giving them that little bit too much respect of, well, these lot are decent, so we're going to kind of, you know, ease ourselves into the game a bit. And Frankfurt came out with the opposite plan, like, we're going to go for it from the word go and try and get an early goal to sort of unsettle everybody. And that's ultimately what happened, I suppose.
Let's talk about Jared Bowen then, because as Marley rightly says, he hits the post, and I think that might have even taken a flick off of the goalkeeper's toes as well, having looked at the highlights again this morning. They also hit the crossbar, Joel, with some ridiculous skill from Bowen right at the death. That could have easily made it 2-2 heading into the reverse leg over in Germany. He'll be replaying some of those chances in his head all night last night. You know, it could have been so different. They could have even, as Marley says, gone into the reverse leg in the lead.
Yeah, the game could have probably finished about 3-3, the amount of bars that were hit. Probably more bars than on a bank holiday Monday. It was just a ridiculous amount of chances for both sides. And on the podcast yesterday, I did mention the fact that I was worried that West Ham would come out a little bit startled. Not because of much towards the occasion, but the fact that I think Frankfurt are just brimming with confidence after winning at the Nou Camp. And it kind of showed in the first minute, because I remember seeing Declan Rice kind of just jogging around a little bit when the Frankfurt player floated the cross in at the back post for them to score in the first minute. It seemed like they were a little bit startled, and it took them a long time to ease into the game. And then suddenly they were both teams were playing really good football, to be fair. And like I say, it probably could have ended 3-3 on another day had the bar been an inch to the left or an inch to the right. They have left it all to do. It's going to be very, very difficult. I think the best part about this result is the fact that there's no away goals now. I think if the option was away goals, it would have been a ridiculous task trying to get a result over there. As we've seen, they took around 40,000 fans to the Nou Camp, so they're going to be all of their fans in the stadium. It's going to be probably electric next week. But yeah, I mean, on another day, a lot more could have gone in. I think the best thing they can take from that game is the fact that they were creating chances and they were very, very close. So Frankfurt can definitely be gotten at. And I think that's encouraging going into the next game for sure. And they'll be able to understand exactly how to go about them as well. Because I think Frankfurt were a little different to how they approached the game compared to Sevilla or to Lyon, where Sevilla and Lyon were a little bit more proactive in their play. They kind of dominated possession a little bit more, whereas Frankfurt were a little bit off the foot, counter-attacking. So it's going to be interesting next week to see how the pendulum shifts.
Yeah, it's still all to play for in Frankfurt in 7 days' time or 6 days' time as we're recording this show now. I think it's interesting what Joel says there, Marley, about Sevilla and Lyon, who were probably expected to be the sides that got through to the later stages of the Europa League. Indeed, Barcelona, rather than the likes of Frankfurt and the likes of West Ham. So I guess that makes for quite an entertaining spectacle in the main, just because there are two sides here, Frankfurt and the Hammers, that probably weren't expecting to be this far in a European competition, you know, 12 months ago, and here they are. So I guess there's a little bit of freedom and enjoyment to go with the games.
Yeah, there is. I think it's about how you use that, because I think some clubs, it can just cripple them. Like, they don't play the game, and some other teams thrive in it. You know, Frankfurt, I think they won one of the last 9 games or something, Frankfurt, and that was the Barcelona game. So in the league, they're not in great form, but, you know, in the Europa League, they're absolutely smashing it and sort of playing with a confidence and a freedom that they aren't doing in the league. I think they're somewhere around mid-table in the Bundesliga, so it's very much all the eggs are in the Europa basket sort of thing. And West Ham are almost similar, I suppose. You know, they're in better form in the league. They've still got things to fight for in the league, but I think you know, any West Ham fan would probably take an 8th place finish if they could even just get to the final of this competition, because it's something that will, you know, live in the history books for a long, long time, and in sort of inspire generations of West Ham fans who are growing up as kids now, seeing West Ham get to European finals as a kid. You know, it only helps going forward and things like that. But I mean, if Jared Bowen had stuck that bicycle kick away, that would have been the most ridiculous goal, because the way he caught it was just insane. Like how clean he caught that and how square it hit the bar and still managed to come back and not hit the goalkeeper in the back. Like it was probably the most unlucky strike I've ever seen, and deserved the goal, to be fair, because 2-2 would have been a real knife edge. But West Ham have work to do, but I don't think they're out of this, because they had plenty of chances against Frankfurt. I think it would have been worrying if West Ham scored against the run of play and got pretty much outplayed for 90 minutes. But I think they proved it many times that they can compete, more than compete with Frankfurt. They hit the bar a couple of they hit the pass through Benrahma, I think, and hit the post through Bowen, and then hit the post through Bowen again at the end. So there's plenty of near misses there that if they can capitalise on, they're absolutely not out of this at all.
Yeah, definitely still all to play for. Second leg will be taking place next Thursday, of course, in the home of Eintracht Frankfurt. West Ham will have to come from behind in the tie on aggregate as they trail by 2-1. We're going to take a break from European football next, and we're going to talk about the Premier League. Two heavyweights doing battle. United-Chelsea is what I'm talking about. We'll talk about it after this.
Football's Social Daily. Subscribe to the podcast now so you never miss an episode.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Football's Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.
Welcome back. This is Football Social Daily, your daily Premier League show. And as we career towards the bank holiday weekend, there was a sole Premier League fixture last night. Thursday evening saw Manchester United welcome Chelsea to Old Trafford. It finished 1-1. And do you think that was a fair result on the balance of play, Joel, between two sides who have stuttered recently?
Yeah, it was the soul game and it was soul destroying. It was just another typical game of just being resounded to what was going on in front of my eyes. I mean, every single person at Old Trafford, I think, was pretty much accustomed to what was going to happen. Chelsea dominated for a lot of the game. United looked like they didn't have a midfield. Everyone was playing freestyle football. And it was just very, very... It was typical. This is the new United. It's very typical. It just feels like we're waiting and waiting for this team to be put down so we can just start again and begin the process of rebuilding everything. But yet again, it was the problem. Cristiano Ronaldo, who was the problem for the other side and scored yet again. I dread to think where this United side would be without his goals this season. It would have meant that the team would have to rely on Martial or Cavani or Rashford, and judging from the way all of them are playing at the moment, it would have been a a very poor story, and I definitely believe that if Ronaldo would have gone to City, for example, I think they would have had the league wrapped up months ago. It would have been... This is what I mean. It's strange how everyone loves to scapegoat a person, yet you have to look at the team behind him where they're not feeding him any support, any chances, and he still is so clinical, and he's one chance at 37, and that's the only chance he needs. And for Chelsea, it was one of the typical Alonso we were just discussing before the podcast. You can literally imagine Alonso's goals every time, just an absolute peach of a volley in slow motion. But I think Chelsea were really unlucky to draw that game. They had so many chances, just really poor finishing. I think Reece James probably could have had around two. Mason Mount probably could have had one. And for United, honestly, the only chance I can remember is literally the Ronaldo goal. So for me, it was a little bit better, a tiny bit of an improvement. They were actually stringing a couple of passes together, but this is where we're at. It's just the bottom of the barrel football where everyone is literally waiting for these three games to be played, and it's a bit of a sorry story. And obviously Rangnick is now apparently being confirmed as the Austrian manager in the next few hours. So it's just, yeah, it's all a very temporary and different feeling. There's going to be a lot of change and everyone's just waiting on that, I think.
Yeah, I certainly think that what you say about Ronaldo is true. You know, he's someone who needs the chances to thrive. I mean, he's not the same player, as we know, as he was 12 years ago when he was at Old Trafford, where he could pick the ball up on the halfway line, do 10 step overs, skin three players and then stick it in the top corner. That's not Ronaldo's game. He's developed into a more clinical centre forward, really, hasn't he? And you just only need to look at some of the goals he scored from close range, like the one against Arsenal, where he just kind of shrugs his way around Gabriel and puts it in the back of the net from 3 or 4 yards out. This one, though, was a shade of the old Ronaldo, where he brought it down, as you say, Joel, and volleyed it nicely beyond the goalkeeper. That made it 1-1, I think. And what do you make, Marley, of those suggestions that have kind of been following Ronaldo around all season, that him signing for Manchester United this summer was a mistake? Because it seems like that narrative has quietened down recently, particularly with the last, I think, 9 Manchester United goals, 8 of them have been scored by Ronaldo. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's funny what goals can do, isn't it? Because they tend to silence doubters every now and again. And, you know, people are saying this, you know, would they be better off without Ronaldo? I dread to fear, as for Man United fans, where they would be this season without Ronaldo. Because they're simply not creating enough chances for a striker as good as Ronaldo. If they didn't have him, like, there's no one else as good as him to take these chances that Man United are creating, because they're so few and far between. You need a very, very clinical striker to do it, and Edinson Cavani just simply can't be arsed playing football anymore. He's played 10 minutes since I think it was Burnley at home, 1-1. Away at Turf Moor, drew 1-1, and he came off after about 70 minutes, hasn't been seen since. Don't know whether he's injured, probably got a little calf strain he's made up or something, but he just doesn't.
No, he is injured and he's back in training as of Friday, which is today, so it looks like it'll be too soon for the weekend.
I thought he would have been on his ranch in Uruguay.
Well, he likes to go down the Snake Pass, doesn't he, in the Pennines, and do a bit of fishing and walking in the wild. Maybe he's got lost somewhere in the trees, who knows?
Maybe, but he's the one who he rules himself out every week, doesn't he? You know, he's I'm injured. I said, oh, okay, right. Right, who else we got? And it's Ronaldo's just there, like, playing pretty much every game, never getting injured. I think he's got, what, 21 goals this season or something, and it's probably as bad a Man United team as he's, certainly as he's ever played in, but as bad as it's been for a while. So I think it's just about getting to the end of the season and then bringing in, obviously, Ten Hag, who's going to come in and hopefully, for Man United's sake, have a plan and have some sort of grand idea to get the team playing better, because last night they were poor again. Chelsea should have won by two or three goals. I think the only reason they didn't is because of their striking problems of their own, because as much as Kai Havertz is a good player, I don't think he's a centre-forward. I think an in-form centre-forward, a confident centre-forward, Even a confident Lukaku would have had at least 2 goals last night. I think the 1-on-1 with De Gea, you know, a goalkeeper should never save a 1-on-1. The striker should always finish it. And then I think there was a header as well, which he should have scored. But that sums up where Chelsea are, because they dominated the game, just couldn't kill off Man United. And it sums up Man United at the minute, that they were barely in the game, but the improvement was that they nicked something out of it, because I think, again, you know, the mood around the club would have took another nosedive, if that was possible, if Chelsea had turned up and won 3 or 4-1, because I think every Man United fans never looked forward to the end of the season as much as they are right now, to be fair.
Yeah, I think with Chelsea, will they be disappointed with a point, Joel, considering how Manchester United have played lately? And I guess, kind of to tie into that question, the vibe around the club and from supporters that I get is that the season already feels over. And I've actually heard you say, off of the podcast, that you're quite keen just for the season to finish now so you can get Ten Hag in and start building for next year. So it's kind of a twofold question, that. Does United's season feel over? Is there anything to be gained in the final few games? And secondly, do you think Chelsea will have been disappointed just to leave with a single point?
Well, on the last question, I think any team is disappointed not to take anything against United at the moment. It's literally 3 points. Because it's so easy to get through the United team. It's the easiest game I think a team could ask for this season. You only have to look at the fact that Everton beat United not so long ago and they've not won a game since. And I think that tells you everything you need to know. We're just easily beaten.
And I think they've only had one game since.
Well, no, they've had a couple. Yeah, I think they played Liverpool and then they played Chelsea.
Oh, it was Leicester won it, so it was 2 games. Yeah, they drew with Leicester. Yeah, that's right.
Well, then they're not going to win a game again. We literally gave them the last opportunity to dangle the carrot of Premier League survival. But yeah, for me, it was literally the fact that the season's felt like it's been over for a long, long time. Just purely from the way that the attitude of the players on the pitch, the body language, just the lack of fight. I know Roy Keane always goes on about this very old school kind of, you know, you have to show fight on the pitch, fight for the badge. But you know what? They're the foundations to a football player, regardless of how bad you're playing. If you can actually give a little bit on the pitch, which shows fans that your head's actually still in the season, then I don't think many people will have a problem. It's the fact that you can look statistically, United are objectively working not as hard as other teams, and that's a massive problem. And for those who are going to be staying next season under Ten Hag, they're going to have a massive shock under his management, because that Ajax side work ridiculously hard. When they counter-press, when they lose the ball in the team's half, go and watch Ajax's highlights, and you'll see every single player has a job to do off the ball. Whereas this United side, if anyone watched it last night, you saw Ronaldo literally chasing after every ball. Rashford was jogging around like it was a testimonial. You had players behind him who didn't really know their role. They weren't pressing. It's seriously pathetic, honestly. I'd rather have put a fan on from the stands. At least they'll show a little bit of heart for 2 minutes. But it's a joke, to be honest. And every single fan is just looking for the season to end now and just to be onwards and upwards, because this season has been probably the lowest of the low for a United side in decades, I would say.
Well, Alejandro Garnacho had a moment to remember last night. That is one positive for Manchester United, making his debut. The lad who seems to have really been the star of United's run to the FA Youth Cup final, which also takes place at Old Trafford very soon. He's been scoring loads of goals for the under-18s and been playing for the under-23s, but he was the latest off of the Carrington production line last night. What a season he's had, by the way. You wouldn't have imagined a year ago, when he was playing in pre-season friendlies at Stalley Bridge, that he would have been making his United debut and being called up to the full Argentina squad. But that's how things quickly can change. So United 1, Chelsea 1, a final score in the Premier League last night. We're going to turn our attentions to another Premier League club after this. And of course, European action for Leicester City as Roma, managed by Jose Mourinho, are in town. We'll pull that game apart next.
Football's Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Football's Social Daily. Subscribe to the podcast now so you never miss an episode.
Welcome back. This is the final part of today's Football Social Daily, your daily Premier League show. A new episode every single day of the season. If you hit subscribe, that way you won't miss one. And it is promising to be a really exciting run-in till the end of the season. The Dugout, our show with former Premier League professionals, will be available later today. Trevor Stephen, a former Everton player who won the title in the 80s with the Toffees. And Matt Jarvis, who was a record West Ham signing once upon a time. Two lively wingers joining me on the show, and we'll be discussing everything from the potential to see European semi-finals change to a different format, to the transfer window, to all of the big games this weekend. So make sure you don't miss that one. But for now, let's look at one of the big games that took place last night. Instead of looking forward, Leicester City welcomed Roma to King Power Stadium. I think Leicester started this game the brighter, but Roma scored first. They opened the scoring on 15 minutes through Lorenzo Pellegrini. But for me, the highlight for Roma was Zaniolo. I thought he was very good. But Chris Smalling, Marley, was absolutely outstanding. A number of really good blocks. He kept a close eye on Jamie Vardy, who was making his first start since returning from injury for Leicester. I think with Smalling, it's an example of how a change of scenery can work wonders for a player.
Yeah, definitely. A nice little move to Rome is not a bad move. I think, you know, you're coming out the doom and gloom of Manchester, and you know it all went pear shaped for him at the end. I suppose, you know, it wasn't very wasn't an amicable ending in terms of sort of how he was treated by fans. You know, he was scapegoated quite a lot. He didn't have his best seasons, to be fair. So there was sort of cause for Man United fans to lose patience with him. But as we're seeing now, he wasn't the big problem. There's bigger problems at Man United, as we've just talked about. So, Smalling, I was glad to see him get the move, you know, and get back in the England setup. I think he only didn't go to the tournament in the summer, the Euros, because of injury, I think it was. Or did he go?
And because Southgate doesn't watch European games either.
Yeah, same reason why Tomori should have went as well. Yep. I think he was in the squads like at one point, but then didn't make the cut. But either way, I'm not sure he went to Italy to get back in the England side. I think he went to Italy just to enjoy his football a bit more. And you know, I remember last season there was a. Probably about four or five games in, they were calling him Smaldini or Smaldini because he was playing that well, and you know they loved him, and he can defend, you know.
And they were fascinated as well, Marley, by his vegan lifestyle, because you've been to Italy, as have you, Joel, and they're very traditional in the way that they eat. So there's a lot of products like cheese and dairy and a lot of meat as well. And when he first went over there, they were like, "What? What do you mean you only eat plants? We don't understand it." So the press were like fascinated with his lifestyle. But there was one moment last night where he just made a ridiculous block, where I think it was Lookman in the first half. It was in the box. He pulled the trigger with his left foot, and then I was convinced it was going in the corner. And then just out of nowhere, like a charging bull, Smalling just roared in front of it and blocked it behind for a corner. And I was just thinking, this guy, I mean, that's the best I've seen him play. And obviously, he was a Manchester United player for 10 years.
Yeah, the block was incredible, to be fair. He does literally come out of nowhere because, you know, he's way away. Like, if you do, like, a freeze frame of when Lookman pulls his foot back and then to where Smalling is and then where the ball ends up hitting Smalling, you know, it's crazy, crazy defending. But that just proves he's a player full of confidence. Is just a literal different player to one that is struggling, you know. You see it happen all the time with players. You look at look at Joe Linton at Newcastle. He had no confidence, and now he's turned into one of the best midfielders in the league, and he's even scoring goals when you play him up front now. So just different managers and different environments can just get the best out of you. And I think as much as Mourinho gets stick as well for maybe not quite producing, you know, what he once did, you know, if Jose Mourinho wants you and says, you know, come to Rome and be my centre back. Same way as he said to Tammy Abraham, come to Rome, enjoy some sun and be Roma's centre forward. You know, they're both playing out the skin. They're both playing brilliantly, and I think that's a huge thing when Jose Mourinho rings you and says, come and play with me, I want you. Like, that's a huge thing for a player. And then you look at Chris Smalling and you're like, I've worked with him before, I know what he's like. There's no surprises there. And then you look at what's happening at Man United, and the alternative, if he stayed, was just another year getting ripped and getting memed by Man United fans on social media saying, oh, he's crap, we should have never signed him from Fulham 10 years ago and all this stuff. And it's no contest.
Yeah, I mean, he's so much better than what he was. Sometimes it takes time, or like I say, a change of environment for a player to thrive. I thought he was very, very good last night. But on the whole, actually, it was a bit of a back and forth game. I think 1-1 was probably a fair result. Ademola Lookman, I think, got the Leicester equaliser, but it's being credited as a Gianluca Mancini own goal. Regardless, it felt like they were the more likely side to go on and win it, Joel, after they got the equaliser. And instead it finished one apiece, and they'll take that result back to the Stadio Olimpico. But, you know, they could easily, I think, have been heading to Rome 2-1 or even 3-1 in the lead. They seemed like the side that was putting the pressure on more than the opposition.
Yeah, you'd think it's a pretty uphill task for Leicester now, especially we saw them in Italy a few months ago and they had to go to Naples to get a result. And it's never the easiest game to go away to an Italian stadium, especially in Roma as well, and try and get a result. But they're the only British side who actually got a pretty positive result last night, so it's all to play for again. I think 1-1 is a pretty fair result in the end, considering how both teams have some fairly good chances. But I think that in the next game, I think Tammy Abraham's going to really come into his own. Just judging off that game yesterday, I think he had a few sniffs at goal, but nothing very obvious, but he did a beautiful bit of play in one of the parts where he kind of did a body feint and then back heeled it. Yeah, I think to Pellegrini, who a great save from Schmeichel. But I think that just shows he's playing with ridiculous confidence. And it's like Marley said, even when you look at, for example, Henrik Mkhitaryan at United, he was absolutely shadowed out by Mourinho. He didn't like him, he didn't think he fit the team, and now he's one of the best Roma players this season. He fits really well into his system. And he's a different player. So like you mentioned as well, Niall, it's the fact that sometimes a player and a manager don't belong together at one club in one system. But then when you change to, example, Roma, who play a different way, different style, sometimes it's just the perfect storm. You just need the perfect combination of many, many different things. And I'm sure the aperitivo and the Aperol Spritz is helping the situation a little bit. But I think it just shows. And the fact that, for example, with Italian clubs, Chris Smalling and Henrik Mkhitaryan, to an extent, were very much scapegoated at United when there were deeper problems. But then when you go to an Italian side, as we've seen, for example, with Romelu Lukaku, if you perform for them and you show some heart and you show you're trying to get into the culture, because I know Tomori at Milan, he's learned a very high level of Italian now. When you accept them, rather than treating it as a two-year holiday and then you're coming back to England, they'll take you in. Yeah. Lukaku had morals all around Milan. You have Chris Smalling, who is Louis van Gaal's got into my head so much. Chris Smalling, again, is a very accepted Roma player. Chris Smalling, very accepted Roma player. Henrik Mkhitaryan, he's one of their own now. You'll be loved at a club if you can perform at an Italian club, whereas in England, they're very quick to dust you off to the side. So I think that's why they're loving it so much. They're loved in their city, and I think it's probably a great feeling going around Rome and everyone's literally giving you freebies of the gelato and the pizza.
Unless they're a Lazio fan, probably try and poison it or something. But I was there last night, and I must say that the Roma fans were absolutely sensational, as were the Leicester fans as well. The atmosphere was brilliant. It was one of those nights where you just think, wow, this is something special. And I was a little bit giddy because I was stood quite close to Jose Mourinho, and I was thinking, this guy is just the charisma. You can just feel it radiating off of him. And what's quite interesting is Mourinho has this reputation now in the Premier League as being this kind of miserable manager, this man who kind of brings a dark cloud over football clubs and plays this negative park the bus style. Roma played a 3-4-3 system last night with wing-backs, and then when they started getting pinned back by Leicester City, he made changes, put a few more players behind the ball, and managed to stem the flow. And there was a lot of sort of emotion and affection between Mourinho and Rodgers last night. There was a few hugs and a few embraces, and there was one moment where a Roma player was down right at the end and the physios were looking to come on, and Mourinho ran from one technical area straight past Brendan Rodgers in the other technical area, halfway up the touchline, and grabbed the physio by the scruff of the neck as if to say, listen, we're trying to waste some time here. What are you doing coming on? And it was just, the character of the man is incredible. But I think, again, we talk about players and Smalling and the like, Marley, but I think that works with managers as well. Like what Joel said, you know, in Rome, this guy's idolized because, you know, he won a treble with Inter. That had never been done before. This guy's sort of a messiah coming back to Italy. And he seems to be really well loved. And, you know, they've played a three at the back system, which isn't something you'd normally associate with Mourinho. And it seems to be working well for them.
Yeah, and I think he said after the match that the match was too good to be the Conference League. So the Conference League, you know, organisers probably sat there going, oh, this is brilliant. Oh, what a great advert for the Conference League.
And Mourinho.
And then Mourinho comes out and just craps on it, which is typical Mourinho. But I think time always sort of helps Mourinho, because when he's not in the Premier League and you're not seeing him and his antics and the things he does every week, you kind of miss them. And when he's there... Yeah. You know, sometimes if you know, like what happened at Man United, it did get sour towards the end, and even his time at Chelsea before that, and his second spell at Chelsea. I mean, so it was a bit. It does get a bit like that where you go when he's sort of there every week, you go, oh, for God's sake, he's doing this, he's doing that, he's making excuses here, there, and everywhere. But if you accept him as a manager, you know, he's still top draw, he's still quality. He's still better than everything you've ever had before, 9 times out of 10. Like same with Roma, you know, he's probably the best manager.
I think they've won one title I think they've won 3 titles in history, Roma, and the last time they won a league was 20 years ago.
Exactly, and, it was 2000 or 2001, was it, something like that, when they had a young Totti and all the rest of it. So yes, you know, it's since then, you know, Roma have been, you know, 5th, 6th best side in Italy. And to be fair, they still are, but they're closing the gap. And, you know, they could end up this season with some sort of silverware if they win the Conference League and they're in with the chance of doing that. But Mourinho is key to it because he can galvanise a club and revitalise a club when he comes in. And if you play for him, he'll back you to the hilt. You know, he'll be right behind you, you know, making you think you're the best player in the world. And whether that's the case or not, if you think you're the best player in the world, you've got there's more confidence than you ever would have before, you know what I mean? So he's still got that man management arguably better than anybody in the world. So that can only benefit whatever club he's working for.
Yeah, I mean, he brought on Felix Afanasyan last night, and that's the young 18-year-old that he bought a 700 quid pair of trainers for when he scored his first couple of goals. So
that.
You talk about that man management. Yeah, that's a great story from Mourinho. So 1-1 then, Stadio Olimpico, 6 or 7 days' time from now. I think Mourinho even mentioned after the game that he was quite glad that, you know, the second leg is in the Olimpico, because that is, without sounding cringy and without... No, any pun intended. That is their Colosseum, Joel, isn't it? I mean, at home, Roma are a difficult side to beat, whether that be in Serie A, whether that be in European competition. The supporters will get behind them. There'll be tifos, there'll be murals, there'll be flags. The atmosphere will be crackling. As you've mentioned already, it's going to be an uphill task for Leicester City. But Brendan Rodgers seemed pretty confident last night that his side are able to go there and get the job done.
Yeah, 100%. I think regardless of this being the third tier European competition, Roma fans do not give a toss about that. They are that a trophy is a trophy for them. And when you look from their perspective, that Juventus and Inter Milan have pretty much dominated their league for the last 2 decades. They've been nowhere near any European trophies. This is a really big moment for them, especially because they'll end up being in the Europa League next year if they do go all the way. And they're already in the Europa League places in Serie A. So it's a big moment for them. I just hope that Leicester aren't taking it less lightly than Roma are, because as we saw when Mourinho was at United, when he won the Europa League, it was a massive achievement for him, because it's a trophy. You have to respect the trophies. They don't come along often and they're all difficult to win. You have to have the right mentality regardless of the status of it and the tier of it. But yeah, like you say, the Olympico, their fans are incredible. It's going to be a super fiercely contested game. It's going to be probably a sellout, which doesn't typically happen at the Olympico too much. But it'll be a very, very tough ask. It'll be the similar scenario to when Leicester went to Naples. It's just a very, very tough place to go to, these stadiums. And a Mourinho team at home has always been difficult. Let's not forget, at Chelsea, he went, what was it, something like 86 games unbeaten over a eight-year period.
I think his Chelsea side still has the record for home Premier League games without defeat. I think Liverpool came pretty close last season, or the season they won the title, but it was still nowhere near Chelsea's record at Stamford Bridge, which I think was over two or three seasons that they didn't lose under Mourinho at Stamford Bridge. So, yeah, I mean, he does have the ability to turn stadiums into fortresses.
Yeah, it's going to be it'll be a very good game to be, but Leicester need to give it a go. The good thing is the fact that there's no away goals, so they can really give it a go. There's no point sitting back, but I do think it'll be a case of Leicester biding the time, because they know Roma will probably have all the momentum at home going forward. They're usually pretty proactive at home in the games that I've seen this season, so it's going to be a really good game. And both teams will be smelling the final, which is just one game away now. So the prospect of a trophy, even for Leicester as well, is massive incentive.
I'm just reading here a report saying that earlier this month Mourinho broke the record for home games without defeat in Serie A. So I think that bookends the point quite nicely. Certainly going to be fun next week in the Stadio Olimpico, and it'll be fun to see what happens between West Ham and Frankfurt as well. I wonder what will happen in the Premier League this weekend. You can take in our preview with former winger Matt Jarvis, who used to play for West Ham and Wolves in the top flight, and also Trevor Stephen, who won the title twice at Goodison Park with Everton, who are really struggling at the moment. He's on the show with us as well. That's The Dugout, out later today, Friday night, if you're listening in the UK, maybe a little bit later wherever you are in the world. If you hit subscribe, that way you won't miss it. That is it from us. Fergal will be back on Sunday to look across the Premier League fixtures. We won't be here for you on Monday because it's bank holiday and the lads are having a well-deserved day off, but the guys from Rose Ed will be taking over our feed with a rather unique podcast, so make sure you stick around for that. But Marley, Joel, thanks very much for your time. That's it for today, and we'll catch you soon.
Football's Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.